Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Eternal and gracious God, in this liminal time, the space between Christmas and the beginning of the new year, we recognize that while we desire to be settled and rested, we also have a fluttering feeling of that which is to come. And we find ourselves struggling to settle down, to let this season be open to us like a gift, and to let the Christ child in. How quickly we want to package him up and put him in a box for another year. How quickly we want to take down the tree and move on. In this space, Lord God, in the quiet of this hour, help us open our hearts. Help us open our hearts. Help us open. Help us open our hearts. Amen. This is the story of the astronomer, the politician, and the baby. The astronomers were students of the stars. They mapped out stars and they followed where the maps led them. They were on a schedule and they were in a hurry, as the patterns in the night sky would change as the Earth would tilt and orbit around the Earth. They came out of curiosity and wonderment. They came to see something they had never seen before and would never see again. They remind me of those people that chase after eclipses and will travel miles after miles, even around the world, to see something that they won't ever see again in their lifetime. Some people have records of how many eclipses they have seen. The Magi were not actually kings, and they weren't actually of royalty, and they weren't actually wise men. The Magi were members of the Parisian priestly class who predicted events that often disturbed and disrupted the empire with their predictions. With astrological insight, they claimed supernatural powers. And so they naively go to the king and say they are here to welcome a new king. Clearly, the astronomers do not think like politicians, but the politician sure did. King Herod is a poster child politician. He knows he holds power because Rome lets him hold power. Herod is a pawn used by Rome to maintain order useful to Rome. So when these strangers from the east arrive at their door looking for a star, instead of dismissing them, he digs a little deeper and he calls the scribes and the Pharisees his frenemies and inquires where this Messiah might be born, and they direct him to the prophet Micah 5:2, which says that the ruler of Israel, the one who will be the shepherd for the people, will come not from Jerusalem, but from Bethlehem. And so Herod, pretending to care, gets the details on where to find this new king, seemingly to pay his respects. And the reader knows full well that this could not be further from the truth. Herod is a fox. And Herod instructs the Magi to come back. And come back, he says, so that I too can go and pay my respects. And the Magi go and they find the baby and they honor him. And then, being warned in a dream, they go home by another way, never to see Herod again. The Magi pulled out their maps and charted a new route. There is more than one way to get home, they decided. Barbara Brown Taylor suggests that when the Magi pick up their packs, when they are lighter than before, they turn to the baby to thank him for the gifts he had given them. What do you mean? Asked Mary. The first wise man thanked Joseph and Mary and their baby for this home and the love here. The second wise man thanked them for letting him hold the baby, an experience this was new and exhilarating for him. And the third wise man said, thanks for a really great story. And the wise men kissed the baby goodbye, and they went home by another way. Now Herod does not like being disobeyed. And in retribution, he says, fine, if I can't kill the one baby who is to be king, just to be sure, I'll kill all of the babies in Bethlehem who might be king. The baby escapes with his parents into the night and lives as a refugee in Egypt until Herod dies and it's safe for him to return. Now, this is a terrible, tragic story that Matthew tells right on the heels of Christmas, right on the heels of singing joy to the world. We crash down into life, back to reality. Jesus was not born in his kingdom. He was born in Herod's kingdom. And in Herod's kingdom, mothers weep for their babies. They weep for their children who are destroyed by drug abuse and violence. They weep for children who do not have enough to eat over their winter breaks. They weep for children who are missing their parents. They weep for children who sit in refugee camps and witness things that no child shall ever see. Jesus' kingdom is the upside-down kingdom of God. Yes, Christ is king, but a very different kind of kingdom, where the first are last, where you love your enemies, and where you bless those who persecute you, and where you sacrifice to serve your neighbor. We live in Herod's kingdom. And as disciples, we are called to live in Jesus' kingdom, and so often we get those two kingdoms confused. Imagine just for a moment that you are one of the Magi who desire to worship this newborn king. And imagine just for a moment you did this, say, last Wednesday night. Say you left your home in the middle of the night and you came to, let's say, worship, and you came and you lit a candle and you sang joy to the world, a newborn king. And then imagine that after you worshiped this baby born in a manger, you went home just as the Magi did. Did you go home to Herod's kingdom, or did you go home by another way? Which kingdom are you living in? This is what Jesus' kingdom looks like. In Jesus' kingdom, Christians love and serve their enemies, and they do not resent those who think or live differently. In Jesus' kingdom, he healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk and the blind to see. But that wasn't enough. A true Messiah was supposed to lead the people to political triumph. In Jesus' kingdom, it's dangerous to be a Christian. It's dangerous to people who refuse to hate those who you are told to hate. It's people who refuse to oppress, to conquer, to exploit, even when they're told to conquer in the name of God. It was Christ's humble birth that set the stage. It was the first lesson in a series. To oppress others is to oppress Christ. To hate others is to hate Christ. And to love your enemies can be the most dangerous and revolutionary act of them all. When the Magi choose to go home by another way, they intentionally choose to go away from Herod. They intentionally choose to find another route. And we can make that choice too. We can choose the road we take. Our world is not unlike the world around the time of Jesus' birth. Our world is filled with power-hungry people intent on keeping that power at all costs. And the message of Jesus is still as revolutionary today as it was in Herod's time. The existence of the child born to Joseph and Mary signals a new world on the way. A world where the powerful are brought low and where the low are brought high. Where Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is a world where the hungry are filled with good things. A world where we know we will be transformed. Where Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, promises a world where love wins, where injustice will be no more, and where wrongs will be made right. It's a dangerous message indeed for those who seek power at all costs. The wise ones in the Gospel of Matthew are part of a story to remind us that Jesus was born so that we all might know him. The love, mercy, and grace of Christ are not for one group exclusively, but for all of God's children. The states, the stargazers, the faithful, the faithless, the lost, the found, the unsure, the certain, the powerful, the powerless, those at the center of the community, and those pushed to the margins. There is no one for whom the birth of Christ does not single out in a new way, doing and living and loving, and there is no one for whom the birth of Christ does not offer an opportunity for a life-altering transformation. And in light of that truth, how can any of us go back to a familiar road? In light of that truth, isn't it necessary for us to begin this new year by going home a different way? As we follow the star and kneel before the birth of this new baby, as we kneel before this child at Christmas, as we offer what we can in worship, as we ponder all things in our hearts, may we know that going back the familiar road is no longer an option. May the wonder and the challenge and the hope of this season inspire us to new ways of living and being and doing and loving. For those of us who have witnessed the love of God at work, for those of us who have been transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ, for those of us who have been embraced by the Spirit of God, may we never be the same, and may we always go home by another way. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.